Qué pena que los antropólogos estén perdiendo algo como esto.
Bodies recovered in Peru with elongated skulls, three fingers, three toes, some of them have eggs inside of them, they have precious metals surgically implanted into their bodies, they are over 1,500 years old, and they are being found in a country that is known for some of the most alien-looking architecture from the ancient world. Organ structures like a tubular heart, axial reproductive canals, skeletal features like fused arm bones, even microscopic details, intact fingerprints and healing bone fractures, a developing fetal form being visible on the scans, a tiny tridactyl embryo with skeletal structure, curled in a womb-like space.
Lo que significa que estaba del lado de
Einstein con una gestación.
Esta es su cabecita, parece.
¡Mira! ¡Ya está!
In this episode, we are diving into the tridactyl beings of Peru, also known as the Nazca mummies, taking you through the research findings in detail so that you can have an educated perspective on why these bodies are not so easily dismissed as a hoax. There are definitely moments in scientific history where evidence is placed on the table that, if ultimately validated, forces us to redraw the boundaries of what we think is possible. The ongoing study of these tridactyl mummified specimens from Peru is presented by its proponents as one of those moments. This may represent a genuine biological discovery of global significance, although the critics would argue that this is simply an elaborate hoax. Real scans, real labs, alongside a recent media wave amplified by the work done on this subject by my good friend and fellow YouTuber Jesse Michaels from the brilliant YouTube channel American Alchemy. Many are skeptical, many are convinced, but everyone is curious to see where this goes. And in this video, I'm going to provide you with the most up-to-date assessment of the situation, including a breakdown of the various mummified bodies, their physiology, and why they're being put forward as the best evidence for the existence of non-human intelligent beings ever discovered. In the remote Nazca Pampa Desert region of southern Peru, grave hunters known as huaqueros stumbled upon something that would eventually captivate scientists and spark international controversy, forcing people to reconsider their understanding of human history. Deep within sealed adobe chambers, they discovered mummified remains unlike anything documented in conventional anthropological literature. These weren't ordinary human bodies. These beings possess three fingers on each hand, three toes on each foot, and their skulls were dramatically elongated, their cranial capacity expanded by approximately 19% beyond the human average. Many of these specimens have no external ears, no visible hair, and facial structures that seem to defy conventional human taxonomy. The discoveries, collectively referred to as the Nazca tridactyl beings, have since been examined by researchers from multiple nations, including Peru, Russia, Mexico, and the United States, as well as independent laboratories across the globe. What emerges from these investigations is a picture of remarkable scientific consistency that challenges every assumption we hold about our planet's evolutionary history. This is Maria. Maria is the first human-sized tridactyl mummy discovered in 2016 in southern Peru. Radiocarbon dating indicates an age of roughly 1,700 to 1,800 years. Forensic analysis identified Maria as an adult, approximately 35 to 40 years old at death. A female mummy, about 5 foot and 6 inches in height, or 168 centimeters. Maria's body is remarkably well-preserved. With desiccated grey skin intact over much of the form, she has an elongated skull with an expanded cranial capacity reportedly around 19% larger than a modern human average. Notably, Maria's hands and feet each have three extremely elongated digits. The fingers and toes also show articulated joints and even partially visible fingerprints, indicating authentic skin ridges on the tips. Internally, CT scans revealed a complete skeletal structure with no signs of assembly or artificial fusion between bones. She possesses an unusually long neck and an atypical rib count and shape, around 11 pairs of rib-like structures, consistent with the other tridactyl specimen's anatomy. High-resolution X-rays and CT scans of Maria were conducted at the Universidad Nacional San Luis Gonzaga, UNICA, confirming that her skeleton is intact and naturally articulated. The scans did not find any internal metal supports or obvious fabrication. Instead, they showed organ remnants and anatomical continuity that's consistent with a naturally mummified body. Maria's full DICOM CT dataset is stored at UNICA. Simplified imaging is publicly shared, while the raw DICOM files are accessible, but only to approved researchers. The research team asserts that Maria is an authentic ancient organism, not an assembled hoax. Her fully jointed, three-fingered hands and feet, elongated skull, and internal anatomy have no inconsistencies indicating forgery. Maria's scans show natural skeletal and organ structures. Whatever the case may be for the larger picture, Maria stands as the flagship specimen found in Peru, a naturally mummified, tri-digited female from 1700 years ago, providing the first evidence that the Nazca tridactyl beings are real biological entities. Hoyce is the first adult male tridactyl mummy identified by the team. Discovered in 2024, Hoyce stands at about 5 foot 11 inches or 180 centimeters tall, comparable to Maria in stature. Hoyce's mummy is notably well preserved and is studied by a joint American-Latin American research team as part of the ongoing project. Hoyce shares the hallmark traits of the tridactyl species: an elongated skull, three fingers and three toes with extraphalangeal segments, and preserved grayish skin over much of the body, though less skin coverage than Maria. Critically, Hoyce was found with external male reproductive organs intact. This is the first time a tridactyl sex could be confirmed via a preserved genital anatomy. This indicates Hoyce was male, in contrast to female specimens like Maria and Josefina. His skeletal structure appears robust and proportionate. At 5 foot 11, he's one of the largest specimens. He exhibits the same unusual skeletal features, an extended spine, ribcage structure, and fused forearm bones observed in Maria and Montserrat. Scans show an elongated neck with additional cervical vertebra, similar to Maria's. A full medical imaging workup of digital X-rays and CT scans were performed on Hoyce's unveiling in 2024. The scans confirmed natural skeletal joints and integrity with no evidence of artificial assembly or composite bones. A strong indicator that this body was once a living male being. Hoyce's CT images have been made available for researchers on tridactyls.org, with some data under access control. Early analysis suggests that, like Maria, Hoyce has anatomically placed internal organs, including a possible heart structure and intact vertebral column. There is no sign of synthetic materials or modern pigments or glues in the scans. In essence, the imaging supports the idea that Hoyce is an authentic corpse with the same biological peculiarities as Maria, rather than a modern fabrication. The confirmation of a male tridactyl is a highly significant element to the researchers' understanding of the species' biology. Hoyce provides the first look at male reproductive anatomy, which appears external and possibly similar in placement to a human male, though detailed study is ongoing. Authenticity-wise, Hoyce adds further weight to the reality of the Nazca tridactyls, a completely separate specimen found years later, exhibiting the same anatomical idiosyncrasies and the natural mummification process. The project scientists consider Hoyce yet another smoking gun piece of evidence that these beings constituted a real, ancient population and not a one-off fake.
Este sí pesa, ¿eh? Ay.
Estás pesadito, ¿eh? Y mira, aquí se le ve el diente. Y aquí se le ve un metal. Un diente, un metal. Pero pues, si quieres lo ponemos.
Claro.
Este, Ricardo, mira acá abajo.
Este sí
es varón. Mira, ahí están los testículos.
Es varón.
Ok.
Es machito.
¿Cómo se va a llamar?
La bolsa escrotal.
Ese sí, yo es.
Te lo gané.
¿Cómo se dice este señor?
A ver.
Wow. Que es un triángulo.
De aquí hasta acá y de aquí hasta acá. Aproximadamente unos 2.5 centímetros por un y medio.
Put this on his forehead, and Josh can take a picture for me, or his chest.
¿Es de la realeza? ¿Por eso tienen esto, o es...?
Paloma is a small tridactyl mummy discovered in 2024. Remarkable for being the first specimen found with hair on her remains, the researchers. Paloma is believed to have been an older individual at time of death, possibly an elderly female, based on skin condition and other indicators. In addition to the standard tridactyl traits, three fingers and toes with elongated phalanges, elongated head, Paloma has distinct patches of brownish-grey hair preserved on her skull. This hair is coarse and appears in clumps, suggesting that in life the species might have had sparse hair on the head, unlike Maria, who has none. Paloma's feet are extraordinary. About 80% of her feet consist of toes by length. In other words, her three toes are extremely long, even compared to other specimens. This corresponds to having perhaps one additional phalanx bone in the toes, or simply very elongated toe bones. The toes end in sharp, claw-like nails. Paloma's hands similarly have long fingers with likely four phalanges each, consistent with other small tridactyls. The scans show that Paloma's internal anatomy aligns with the others, a continuous spine into an elongated skull, and an absence of a separate pelvis. The tridactyls have a fused pelvic structure with an extended sacrum, per prior studies. Her DICOM data has been shared with the research community. The presence of hair was verified, both visually and via microscopic analysis of the fibers. They are authentic biological hair strands, they're not textile fibers. DNA sampling of the hair is in progress. Notably, there's no modern resins or adhesives on Paloma's body. She does show some whitish powdery residue on the skin, but that's believed to be desiccation salts or mummification compounds used in antiquity. Her joints show degeneration and her teeth considerable wear means that this species had a lifespan long enough to reach old age.
Accesible los dígitos, pues, las huellas digitales.
También tiene.
Sí, puedes hacer un acercamiento. Tal vez valdría la pena limpiar un poquito más. Podrías con un cotonete que podamos limpiar eso.
Sí, mejor con foto, ese mejor con foto. Ajá.
Dr. McDowell, we take tissue, muscle yes, tissue
good.
Samples
good.
From
the elbow,
the articular region.
Let's get some photos of the fingers.
Researchers hypothesize the tridactyls may have had a partially aquatic lifestyle or a gait that was adapted to their unique foot structure. Their long toes might have aided in swimming or gripping, for example. As with all specimens, Paloma's authenticity is strongly supported by the organic details. These are impossible to fake in a composite dummy.
Del recto o el ano intestinal.
En términos prácticos, ¿qué se podría decir que diferencia a este ser con un humano? En cantidad de enumerar las cosas que son diferentes.
Hasta ahorita, en este momento, la tridactilia tanto en pies como en manos. Pero obviamente hay otras características. Por ejemplo, el grosor de los huesos es un poco más grueso, es un poco más denso. El tipo de oquedad o de espacio que hay en el interior es mayor, pero el grueso del hueso es bastante más grande que en el humano, pero por lo general básicamente es la tridactilia. Ahora, si nos vamos hacia acá, hacia el cráneo, que era lo que te interesaba, Ricardo, uh-huh. Acá en el cráneo puedes ver que tentativamente es un adulto, porque la dentición no es mixta, ya tiene los dientes permanentes, no se alcanza a observar una dentición temporal, que de todas formas habría que corroborarlo con una imagen de rayos X, pero tienes una mandíbula y un maxilar muy bien definidos, tienes un cráneo aparentemente normal o de dimensiones normales, con una muy buena vascularización.
Se ven las venas, tremendo, doctor.
Una muy buena vascularización. Obviamente aquí en el pliegue nasal todo esto es tejido, tejido. Y aquí está la cavidad orbitaria donde entran los ojos, ojos, nariz y boca. Muy similar al, al humano.
Cualquiera que ve esta parte podría decir que se trata de un humano.
Sí, o sea, al ojo común no entrenado se vería como un humano excepto por la tridactilia.
So again, Paloma bolsters the claim that the tridactyl mummies represent a genuine biological reality. She also expands the known range of morphological variations with the presence of hair within this proposed new species.
Exacto.
¿Qué es lo que puede apreciar ahí, doctor?
Mire, el punto de vista ya en general, médico, no especialista en traumatología ni en el músculo esquelético, según una conformación anatómica de tres dedos y sin signos de manipulación.
Cortes, le han quitado los dedos extremos.
No veo.
Como afirman los que no han investigado este caso.
No veo. Entonces, es real.
¿Esto podría ser un metal?
Eso sí me llama la atención.
Porque acá se ve verde, parece que tuviera una pátina producto del óxido, de la oxidación.
Ahí sí puede ser un implante profundo. Que un implante profundo que está como trasudando algo que sea un metal, ¿no? A través de la piel y de lo que podemos ver, que no me han limpiado.
Y acá se puede ver, mira.
Mira, acá está, sí, es parece un implante.
Para la fractura colocamos mini placa.
Sí.
Claro, es lo que hemos estado viendo con el doctor. Sí, y se ve ahí la zona central más pronunciada, ¿no?
¿Es un metal?
Sí.
Ya está corroborado. Tomográficamente, esto no es hueso, es metal y tiene una forma.
Pero
metal, como si fuera una placa.
Pero solamente.
Ese segmento.
Eso.
Y en la momia se ve que está como emitiendo partículas de mineralización de productos a través de la piel, ¿no?
Santiago is described as the first tridactyl specimen that appears to be a child. Rather than an infant or an adult, he was revealed by the team in 2024 as a new addition to the catalogue. Santiago's size and development level suggest a young individual. He's larger than the baby Wawita, but smaller than the adolescent-sized Sebastian. His height is not explicitly listed on the site, but from context, Santiago is presumably around 2.5 to 3 feet in height, or 75 to 90 centimeters tall. Intermediate between the infant and teen specimens, he may correspond to an age that is equivalent to a human child of 5 to 10 years old. Being a juvenile, Santiago shares the tridactyl template with some proportional differences. He has the characteristic 3 fingers and 3 toes, but his limb proportions fall between the stubbier baby form and the elongated adult form. For instance, his fingers are slightly less elongated, possibly 4 phalanges in each finger, as seen in Sebastian. And his cranial sutures are reportedly not fully fused, consistent with a younger individual. Santiago's skull is elongated, but it is smaller, with a large cranial vault relative to face, common in juveniles of many species. His dentition seems to include a mix of baby teeth and adult teeth. Santiago's mummy underwent CT scanning, and the data was processed into a 3D model for a virtual autopsy analysis. The CT results indicated that the epiphyseal growth plates in his long bones were not fully fused, a classic sign of sub-adulthood. His overall body plan is proportionally smaller, but importantly, the internal anatomy still aligns with the species. Because of his size, his CT slices have higher resolution, a smaller cross-section which allows for finer detail. The team noted that there was no evidence of fabrication. The spine connects naturally to the skull, and all joints are intact and congruent. Some of Santiago's phalanges, the finger bones, are not fully ossified at the tips, which is again normal for a growing organism. Researchers did not find any metallic implants in Santiago's body, unlike some of the other specimens, nor any obvious trauma. In fact, his cause of death remains undetermined. There are no clear injuries, so disease or dehydration is being hypothesized. Santiago provides crucial insight into the ontogeny, the development of the tridactyl beings. The presence of a child-sized mummy indicates a breeding population. Multiple life stages are represented. Newborn Wawita, child Santiago, adolescent Sebastian, and then adult Maria and Hoyce, possibly elder Paloma. This strongly supports that the tridactyls were an established species, reproducing and maturing in a life cycle. From an authenticity standpoint, having a child mummy makes a hoax hypothesis even less likely. Fabricating a believable juvenile with internally consistent growth markers would be extraordinarily complex. The natural growth plate evidence in Santiago's bones is something that just can't be faked by attaching parts together and gluing things together. So Santiago underscores the reality of the tridactyl beings and provides a bridge between the infant and adult forms in this collection. Sebastian is a tridactyl specimen interpreted as an adolescent, essentially a teenager in this species' life stage. Sebastian stands at about 3 foot 4 inches or 102 centimeters tall. Morphology falls between the smallest adult type and a child. His body is more developed than Santiago's, with limb bones that are fused at the ends, and his overall build is proportionately closer to an adult. Sebastian's hands have 3 fingers with 4 phalanges each, and feet with 3 toes containing 3 phalanges each. This phalangeal formula is slightly reduced compared to Maria's 5 per digit, hinting that either the small tridactyl variants naturally have one fewer joint, or perhaps that an intermediate growth stage shows fewer ossified segments. It's possible some phalange cartilage hadn't ossified in the toes, or that the small species adults all have 3 toe phalanges. Sebastian's skull is elongated and in excellent condition. Scans show an implanted metal object at the back of his neck in the cervical region. This implant, similar in appearance to those in Montserrat, is a small metallic piece that's lodged near where the atlas vertebrae meets the skull. It seems to be a deliberate implant, not a projectile, and it's notable that the bone growth around it suggests that it was embedded during life. Sebastian's skin is present in patches and described as grey in colour. Notably, one of his hands is clenched, showing long, slender fingers with curved claws. He has the same 3-fingered, no-thumb hand structure as the others. Internally, Sebastian appears to have all the typical organs of the species, including what might be a tubular heart structure and possibly undeveloped gonadal structures. Sebastian was examined with digital radiography and a CT scan, though as of the latest updates, full DICOM files are not yet publicly released for him. The analysis thus far has been done by in-situ experts. The CT scans confirm Sebastian's spinal column is continuous and naturally articulated from skull through to pelvis, discounting any notion of separate pieces being assembled as a forgery. The metallic implant at his neck was visualized clearly, and its composite was tested with X-ray fluorescence, indicating a high-density metal, possibly osmium or another rare metal. Similar strange metals were identified in other specimen implants. Sebastian's bone densities and growth plate closures were noted. His long bones growth plates are nearly fused, which indicates he was close to skeletal maturity but not fully an adult. No traces of modern adhesive or artificial assembly points were found. Every joint, from wrist to elbow to spine, aligns perfectly in the scans with natural wear and tear. Sebastian reinforces patterns that are seen in smaller tridactyl mummies and provides further developmental data. He occupies a similar size range to the historically reported small mummies, Alberto and Victoria and Josefina, but his physiology as a likely adolescent suggests that those 60-centimeter individuals were actually fully grown adults of a small species, whereas Sebastian at 100 centimeters might be a sub-adult of a perhaps larger variant. There's still debate. It's possible that the tridactyl beings exhibited sexual dimorphism in size or even represented more than one closely related species. The research team leans towards interpreting 60-centimeter specimens as adult type J tridactyls, and larger ones like Sebastian could be a juvenile of the type M, the Maria type lineage. However, if Sebastian is an outlier, he might represent something else. Further DNA analysis will be required. All experts who physically examined Sebastian concur that he was an organic being, bones with normal microstructure, no synthetic joints. The presence of the metal pieces raise intriguing questions. It might have been surgically placed, or it could be some form of ritual artifact. Either way, the bones' reaction around it supports that it was living tissue when this implant was inserted. Montserrat is a female tridactyl mummy discovered in early 2020, noteworthy for being found in a pregnant state. She was excavated by a Peruvian university team for UNICA and named Montserrat. At approximately 1.4 meters or 4 feet 10 inches tall, Montserrat is slightly shorter than Maria, but clearly an adult of the larger body type. Her age at death is estimated to be around 15 to 25 years old, a young adult by human standards. Montserrat is exceptionally well preserved, with a completely articulated skeleton in near perfect symmetry and significant portions of dried soft tissue remaining. She quickly became one of the most scientifically studied of the tridactyls due to the fetal remains within her. Montserrat's anatomy aligns with Maria's in all major aspects. Maria, an elongated skull and no external ears or hair. She has slightly smaller stature and slighter build than Maria, but shares the same natural mummification with skin covering parts of the body. Her skull is elongated with large eye orbits and cranial volume comparable to Maria's. Importantly, Montserrat CT scans reveal that she was carrying in her abdominal cavity. The team identified a developing fetal form being visible on the scans, a tiny tridactyl embryo with skeletal structure, curled in a womb-like space. This confirms that Montserrat was pregnant with at least one advanced fetus. Montserrat also contains an astonishing array of metallic implants, at least 10 distinct metal implants embedded into her body. These include 4 small round implants in her skull, 2 on each side, several in her chest and thoracic area, and others along her arm and leg bones as per the CT images. They're described as very dense and made of rare metals, osmium and gold. Additionally, Montserrat's chest anatomy is peculiar. She has an expanded ribcage without a sternum, like the other tridactyls, and an interclavicle bone, an extra bone at the shoulder girdle. Noted by researchers, her spine is continuous into the skull, again demonstrating this craniocervical canal. Montserrat has been one of the most deeply analyzed specimens. High-resolution 128-slice CT scans were performed, and a full 3D virtual autopsy was conducted. The scans confirmed Montserrat's pregnancy with tridactyl features.
Sí, parece que hubieran restos de hay huesitos pequeñitos, mira.
¿Cómo?
Hay huesitos pequeñitos como si estuviera embarazada.
¿En el abdomen?
Sí, mira, ahí están.
¿Fragmentos de hueso?
Sí, pequeños.
Ya, eso le tiene
como,
que
como un feto pequeño.
Ya, fragmentos de hueso.
Unos huesitos, mira.
Sí.
No puede ser.
Wow.
Mira, esto es un huesito.
Ya.
Claro. Esta puede ser su columna.
Sí, ahí le tienes que dar un poco más de,
ya estaba embarazada.
De un detalle.
Todo lo que significa tener
estaba un del lado
con
derecho
con una gestación.
Esta es su cabecita, parece.
¡Mira! Está, ya está. Este es el fragmento y esta es la columna.
Sí, esta su cabecita. Esto parece en sus agujeros de los ojos. Parece cervical de acá. Y esas son sus extremidades.
Ya está, ya no hay duda. Hay extremidad, sí. En cabeza, ya no hay duda, pues.
Sí, estaba.
Sí, estaba, ¿no?
Estaba gestando.
Sí, estaba gestando.
Ya está, no hay duda.
The CT scans also mapped each of the metal implants. Notably, 4 coin-like metallic discs are arranged, 2 on each side of her head, just under the skin of the temporal regions. Others are small rod or bead-shaped objects attached to ribs and near the clavicle region. Their regular shape implies they were deliberately inserted. No modern materials like wires or screws are associated with them. They appear ancient. Tissue biopsies from Montserrat's muscle and skin have been taken. DNA sequencing so far aligns with other specimens, showing a significant portion of unidentifiable sequences. The metal implants in Montserrat are also highly significant. The team's metallurgical analysis found one implant had traces of osmium, one of the rarest elements on Earth. Their placement and their count of 10 total suggests intentional insertion. For authenticity, I would say that Montserrat is a cornerstone. The sheer complexity of her condition, of pregnancy with fetus, multiple implants, injuries, it's impossible to reconcile this with a hoax. CT scans confirm that Maria and Montserrat are real biological beings with natural mummification. Montserrat particularly showcases that reality. A young mother from 1800 years ago mummified with her unborn offspring. Josephina is a small tridactyl mummy, roughly 60 centimeters or 2 feet in length, discovered in the spring of 2017 and reportedly in a separate smaller sarcophagus along with other mini mummies and artifacts. Josephina is often considered the most important small specimen as she was the first in which eggs were discovered. In fact, the team has designated Josephina as the likely holotype of the new species. She is an adult of the diminutive tridactyl type, presumably female given her egg-bearing status. Her appearance is that of a small humanoid creature with an elongated head and three-digit hands and feet. She has 3 fingers and 3 toes, each of her fingers containing 4 phalanges, one fewer than Maria's, and each toe about 3 phalanges long. The skin covering her body is light grey, whitish, and preserved in places, notably over her back and limbs. Most significantly are the 3 oval eggs visible in her abdomen. Early x-rays and subsequent CT scans in 2017 clearly show 3 calcified, shell-like ovoids inside her lower torso. Each egg is a few centimeters in length. Later high-resolution imaging confirmed these are real, structured eggs containing content. At least 1 egg in Josephina shows internal layering consistent with embryonic material. There is also evidence of a 4th smaller egg, or follicle, developing, as noted by some researchers. She does not have obviously differentiated genitalia, which originally led to speculation about hermaphroditism, until the eggs were discovered, confirming her as a female capable of laying eggs. Josephina was one of the first small mummies to undergo full CT scanning. In mid-2017, 128 slice CT scans and numerous x-rays were taken, confirming the presence of 3 large eggs in her abdomen. The eggs have uniform density consistent with organic materials. There is no sign that these eggs were surgically inserted or foreign. Their positioning and membrane detail suggest they formed naturally inside of her. Louisa is another small tridactyl mummy, very similar to Josephina, which was discovered in early 2020 by the UNICA team in Peru. In fact, Louisa is described as a 5th body, similar to Josephina, that was recovered under official supervision in 2020. She's around the same size, roughly 60 centimeters in length, and also an adult female. Louisa's importance lies in confirming that the egg-bearing small tridactyls were not limited to 1 individual. She essentially represents a 2nd example of a pregnant small female. Louise's morphology matches that of Josephina almost exactly. 3 fingers per hand, 3 toes per foot, with the same counts on phalanges as Josephina. A slim body with an enlarged abdominal region due to the eggs, and an elongated hairless head. One notable difference is Louisa has an extra bone anomaly or fang in her oral anatomy, as described, possibly as an extra tooth or a slight difference in jaw structure. The eggs are positioned similarly and are of comparable size. Additionally, Louisa has a small metal implant near the clavicles. This implant is a single compact piece located in the upper chest region. Given its neat position near what would be the thymus region in a human, the team suspects it's deliberate. Louisa's skeleton shows no separate radius, the forearm bones are fused into a single bone, presence of an interclavicular bone at the shoulder. Her skin is somewhat more desiccated and brittle than Josephina's, possibly because of different environmental conditions in the tomb she was found in. Louisa essentially corroborates everything learned from Josephina. She provides a replicate example of a small tridactyl female. It shows that Josephina was not a fluke or misinterpreted anomaly. Both carried multiple eggs, demonstrating that that was a standard reproductive mode. The presence of the chest implant in Louisa ties her to the pattern seen in Montserrat's and Sebastian's of metallic objects in these beings, raising intriguing questions about whether these were widespread among the population for health reasons or ritual practice, or perhaps as a form of technology. Researchers have posited that perhaps these implants could have been used to strengthen the skeletal system if they were aware of metallurgy for medical use or as identification tags of some sort. Peruvian scientists presented Louisa's scan in 2020 to the Cultural Ministry as evidence when making the case to officially recognize the tridactyl remains. They highlighted that two separate mummies, Josefina and Louisa, found years apart, both have eggs and identical anatomy, something exceedingly unlikely to be the result of a hoax or manipulation. Louisa's intact state and the fact that all of her joints and bones and eggs are in natural configuration further silences many critics. In effect, Louisa's addition to the roster helped convince more of the scientific community that we're dealing with a real, previously unknown, species. Some of the ongoing genomic sequencing from 2023 up to 2025 uses samples from Louisa to cross-confirm results from Josefina. In summary, Louisa is Josefina's corroborating counterpart, a second small mother with eggs and an intriguing hint of biomedical technology. Alberto is one of the original small tridactyl mummies found alongside Josefina in 2017. He's about 60 centimeters or 2 feet tall, equivalent in size to Josefina and Victoria. Alberto's anatomy matches that of Josefina and Louisa in overall structure, a diminutive biped with three-fingered hands and tridactyl feet. He has an elongated skull, slightly smaller in cranial capacity than Josefina's. Some measurements put his skull length to a few millimeters shorter. His fingers have long claw-like nails. Unlike Josefina, Alberto's abdominal cavity does not contain eggs. When first x-rayed, Alberto's torso showed an emptier pelvic region, with some dried organs, but no ovular masses. This is one reason investigators tagged him as possibly male, or at least non-reproductive. Internally, Alberto does not show obvious gonads either, which again feeds into the idea of unusual reproductive biology, perhaps atrophy or internal location or even hermaphroditism if he had female organs that weren't active. His x-rays suggest possibly only 20 teeth in total, all small and peg-like. He shares the 8 to 10 pairs of rib counts of the others and the same fused forearm and lower leg bones. Alberto's skeletal frame is slender. CT scans conclusively showed his mandible is naturally articulated to the skull, not a transplanted part. Alberto underwent the first tomographies in mid-2017, along with Maria and Josefina. The CT scans, both head and body, demonstrated that Alberto is a single coherent skeleton with all joints intact. His bone density and dimensions closely match those of Josefina and Victoria. The small tridactyls have very lightweight, hollowish bones, contributing to an almost avian skeletal weight, one reason the team speculates they might have been agile or semi-arboreal. Alberto's CT data revealed no eggs, confirming visual assessment, and no large internal anomalies. Alberto's chest cavity contained what could be interpreted as a residual heart tube and possibly a different arrangement of internal organs. Since he wasn't filled with eggs, the scan could more clearly see structures along the midline. This helped in identifying the tubular heart in these beings, a long organ running along the spine rather than a four-chambered heart as we see in human beings. Alberto's DNA was also sampled. Initial genetic analysis placed his mitochondrial DNA as not a match to any known human haplogroup, though more data is obviously needed. The lack of eggs and any reproductive organs visibly has caused researchers to discuss whether perhaps the small tridactyls could switch sex like some reptiles and amphibians, or whether only some were female. Victoria is another of the original small tridactyl mummies uncovered in 2017. Her features align perfectly with the small tridactyl template, a slender humanoid with three long fingers and three toes and preserved grayish-white skin. She does not have eggs in her abdomen, only Josefina and Louisa did. It's possible that she was a female who simply wasn't pregnant at death or was younger and hadn't reproduced yet. She has small, possibly atrophied internal organs visible on scans. Victoria was CT scanned at the same time as the others. The CT images of Victoria were useful in cross-comparison. For example, her neck vertebra count and morphology were measured against Josefina's to check consistency. All small tridactyls, Victoria, Josefina, Alberto, and Louisa have 7 cervical vertebrae, 12 dorsal thoracic vertebrae, and a series of fused sacral vertebrae. A count similar to humans in the neck, but fewer in the rib-bearing region because their torso is shorter. Victoria's scans did not show any implants or foreign objects in her body. She perhaps represents a baseline tridactyl without eggs or implants. Victoria's significance lies in rounding out the understanding of the small tridactyl cohort. With her, scientists had three nearly identical small bodies, Victoria, Josephina, and Alberta, which allowed for internal peer comparison. Any theory of artificial assembly would have to explain these separate but anatomically congruent mummies, an improbable scenario. Wawita, the baby, is the infant tridactyl mummy discovered along with Maria. This tiny mummy, affectionately called Wawita, measures only about 35 to 40 centimeters, approximately 15 inches in length. She was revealed to the world in mid-2017 as the apparent offspring or a young of the tridactyl species. The name reflects her status as a baby. Wawita was reportedly found in the same tomb or cache as Maria, possibly intended to be buried together. Wawita looks very much like an elongated fetus or newborn of the tridactyl species. She has a disproportionately large head, common in infants, and very short limbs relative to the adults. Three fingers on each hand and three toes on each foot. Her digits are more stub-like compared to the long, spindly fingers of the adults. Each finger of Wawita has only three phalangeal bones, similar to a human baby's finger count, and each toe has two or three phalanges visible. It's possible not all phalanges had ossified at her age. Wawita's skull is elongated but softer in appearance. The cranial bones were not fully fused, as expected, in an infant. She actually has an open, soft spot on the skull that was detected on scans, and her eye sockets are large and her facial features not fully developed. Wawita's skin is present and covers most of her tiny body, and you can discern folds of skin, indicating that she may have been at or near full term. Due to Wawita's quick mummification, perhaps by desiccation shortly after death, her brain and possibly other organs survived in dried form. Wawita has the appearance of a premature human-like fetus with tridactyl limbs, giving an initial impression to skeptics of something fabricated from a human baby. Wawita's CT scans also confirm the presence of a brain-like structure inside the cranial cavity. It had shrunken and desiccated, but was present and even showed rudimentary brain fold patterns in the scans. Because of her tiny size, CT resolution was effectively higher on her, making fine details very visible. And there were even unossified cartilaginous sections expected in a neonate. Wawita's entire CT dataset was offered openly to researchers, with identifying information redacted as part of a transparency effort. DNA extraction from Wawita yielded very degraded genetic material, which is to be expected given the age and the small sample, but what sequences they could amplify again showed a partial human overlap and a lot of unknown segments. There have been additional discoveries in 2025 of reptilian and insectoid-type beings with tails and sharp claws, fang-like teeth. Some of these bodies have already undergone preliminary scans through the Inkari Institute in Peru, and while we do need to await more rigorous data before we can draw conclusions, they are certainly extremely interesting discoveries. These newly discovered specimens include Nakari. Insectoid in appearance, Nakari is a specimen measuring 49 centimeters in length. It has 10 metal implants distributed across its head, body, and limbs. The inclusion of the metal implants mirroring those found in the larger tridactyl-type beings is an amazing discovery. It implies that, at the very least, this creature was experimented on. But it could also suggest this small insectoid-type specimen represents an intelligent species capable of surgical implantation. Whether this is the case, we don't know, but this is an even stranger example within an already strange conversation and set of discoveries that indicates a pretty wide spectrum of creatures or possible intelligent beings inhabited ancient Peru. Once again, inviting us to observe the wider history of the region, the mysterious Nazca lines, the tridactyl beings in the artwork, the jaw-dropping megalithic structures, and of course the local Andean lore and mythology surrounding deities of immense power who once occupied these lands and brought with them the ability to build civilizations. Alongside Nakari is Suye 1 and 2. Two more bizarre insectoid variants that were discovered once again in the Nazca Desert. They're about 40 centimeters in height, three fingers on each hand with three phalanges, three toes on each foot. But the heads are extremely weird. There is no empty space that could accommodate a brain or eyes or a nose, and yet these apparent creatures also have ovoid, egg-like objects inside their abdomens, 3 eggs in one specimen and 4 in the other. The specimen with 4 eggs also has 13 implants and the presence of bony appendages on the back, suggesting they once had wings. The sheer variety of specimens being discovered in the Nazca region is utterly bizarre, and yet more bodies are being discovered. For example, this specimen called Sulca, which the Inkari Institute scientists have categorized as an entirely different species to all the other various specimens we've covered in the video. They're calling this specimen a Calda bifurca lacerta nazcensis, which means a tall, split or forked lizard from Nazca. It's 38.8 centimeters in size, its genus is currently unknown, it has hands with 3 fingers comprising 3 phalanges, and the same with its feet. The presence of a tail can be observed in this specimen, which is 12.5 centimeters long and composed of 8 vertebrae ending in a fork shape. And if you wanted a physical analogue to the devil archetype of an impish, fork-tailed creature that is echoed across world mythology and theology, here it is. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it's interesting to note that these beings, if they truly were once living on Earth in proximity to humanity, could have provided the original source interactions that became the mythological beings of world folklore, elves and imps, could have derived from a source more real than we currently believe. Sulca has 4 teeth, 2 upper teeth, which are canine, and 2 lower teeth, which are incisor teeth. And in the palate, there is a strange tubular cavity that resembles a Jacobson's organ, which is something found particularly in snakes and lizards. The joints of the legs also appear inverted, which is something we see in wading birds like herons and flamingos. Altogether, an extremely bizarre specimen, made stranger by a larger counterpart that the Inkari Institute is naming Yakak. Standing at 51.2 centimeters tall, it has the same 3-finger, 3-toe morphology and an 11 centimeter long tail comprised of 9 vertebrae, also ending in a fork shape like Sulca. Also like Sulca, this specimen does not appear to have ribs, and Yakak has 6 teeth this time instead of 4, 2 in the upper jaw and 4 in the lower. More studies are needed before definitive answers can be made on these newly discovered specimens. All discovered mummies, regardless of morphology, were discovered with a thick covering of what was later found to be diatomaceous earth, which is what gives them their white, chalky outer appearance, which some have mistaken as the body itself and assumed them to be made of some form of plaster. This is not the body. This is a thick covering over the body, which is acting as a preservative. Diatomaceous earth is a silicous sedimentary rock composed of fossilized remains of diatoms, which are microscopic algae. Residues of hydrocarbon-based oil have also been detected in the powder covering the mummies. One researcher notes that one of the compounds appears to be produced by a wide variety of plants, including many South American plants, and was commonly used as a component of the embalming resin used for Egyptian mummies. The Egyptians immersed their deceased in a natron bath, primarily extracted from the sediments of salt lakes, then covered the bodies with bandages. However, it has been observed that the Nazca mummies were also coated with an oily substance. Traces of drips are visible on some of the bodies, but instead of bandages, the ancient embalmers used diatomaceous earth. Additional findings include objects discovered among the bodies, carved stones bearing similarities to the tridactyl beings themselves, bone fragments with metal laid into them in geometric patterns, possibly a form of language, the potential signatures of a complex, intelligent, and organized group. A consistent picture is emerging of a previously unknown non-human species that lived about 1,800 years ago in Peru. The data available to us in the form of CT scans and highly detailed anatomical descriptions, research reports unanimously support the biological authenticity of the tridactyl mummies. Each mummy exhibits an array of anatomical features that, while bizarre, such as the 3-digit limbs or the elongated skulls and the unique reproductive system, are actually internally coherent and show natural variation across individuals. High detail imaging, including the available DICOM CT files, has revealed organ structures like a tubular heart and axial reproductive canals, skeletal features like fused arm bones and extra phalanges, and even microscopic details, such as intact fingerprints and healing bone fractures, none of which bear any sign of artificial assembly or hoax. Furthermore, chemical and genetic analysis presented by the involved scientists indicates that these beings' composition from DNA to bone chemistry does not match any known human or known animal, yet it is clearly organic. While the scientific community at large awaits further peer review validation, the official stance of the research team, backed by all the detailed evidence compiled in this report, is that the Nazca tridactyl mummies are real, biologically intact remains of an unknown humanoid species that once lived in ancient Peru.
De veras, qué pena que los antropólogos estén perdiendo algo como esto.
Ya, están
los
jugando como
biólogos, ¿no?
Están jugando con muñecos ahora ellos.
Mientras ellos juegan con muñecos, nosotros estamos analizando especímenes.
Tienen la
únicos
nunca antes visto.
La piel de la
viendo la salvo en su época.